Lord, Lord, bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our first lesson from Samuel records that ancient, historic moment when the Ark of God, the Ark which carried the Ten Commandments Moses brought down from Mount Sinai, is finally brought to Jerusalem by King David. Everyone was filled with so much joy, so much gratitude, so much awe, that Scripture tells us their joy could not be contained. Samuel says, David and all the house of Israel were dancing before the Lord with all their might, with songs and lyres, with harps and tambourines, with castanets and cymbals. It was an ancient mosh pit to honor God. It was a rave to honor God. David and his crew were doing whatever the ancient equivalents of flossing or daubing or disco dancing might be. People were beside themselves with joy. The Ark, the Holy Ark, was safe and sound and with them. This week, we know what that ecstatic moment would have felt like, because this past week, we all celebrated separately what we can now all celebrate together. After 18 grueling days in underground caves, while the whole world held its breath, 12 boys and their 25-year-old soccer coach were saved. Safe and sound, back with their communities. They were brought above ground by highly trained teams of international Navy, sea, air, and land commanders. Ambulances wailed as they raced towards hospitals, helicopters whirled overhead, and people around the world were laughing and dancing and shouting and texting and waving flags and holding signs and lighting incense and saying their prayers. It was moving and gratifying to have the whole world, all seven continents, from Thailand to India, from the World Cup teams of Russia to all the cities and towns in North and South America, hoping and praying and listening for news. We didn't know what the outcome was going to be during that long stretch of days, but we were all turning to God and sending the best experts we had. We were all hoping against hope that what sounded absolutely impossible could actually be realized. And it was. Phones were blowing up. TV stations were popping. Headlines were being made on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. Four out. Five more out. Three more. Their coach out. Finally, Navy SEAL support. Everyone out of the cave. And we all read details about the course and the grueling six-hour journey. The two-by-two movement of those SEALs, making sure each boy had not one, but two guides for the times that were going to be extra tough and challenging. I can't even imagine how many languages were used to tell the story of the 12 boys and their soccer coach this week. I can't imagine how many. If we needed proof that this tired world could still come together for good, we got it. If we needed to remember that enormously entertaining, money-making competitions like the World Cup are not the only way for the world to gather together as a world, we got it. There was plenty of concern and care for that tie, life and death struggle all over the world. And even at the World Cup, people recognized the difference between being caught up in sporting excellence and life or death courage. The day France beat Belgium to advance to the finals was the day that all the boys and the coach were finally freed. And one of France's star players dedicated France's victory to the Thai soccer team, to the Wild Boars. He said, "This victory goes to the heroes of the day. Well done, boys. You are so strong." And England is sending 13 soccer shirts to Thailand. And Italy has invited the boys to come to see a game in Italy when they are finally better. If we were telling a fairy tale, the story would end right there, with the boys at a soccer match in Italy, wearing English soccer uniforms, looking happy and feeling brave. And I hope that that will still be a part of the future story. But there is a more complicated, tragic side to this story that we also need to hear. Free will and imperfect actions are always a part of this tired world of ours. And in the story of the rescue of the 12 boys and their coach, we also have to acknowledge a brave man who died in his attempt to rescue those boys. Salmon Coonan, a former Thai Navy SEAL, died around 1 p.m. 9 days ago after sending air tanks to the trapped boys who needed them to replenish their own air supply. He lost consciousness while returning from a chamber in the cave, and Coonan's diving buddy was unable to resuscitate him. It's possible Coonan died because he ran out of oxygen trying to get to a command center about a mile inside the flooded cave. Goodness and grace are in this world, but so are failure and error and imperfection and free will. In hindsight, we wish that brave Navy SEAL had recognized that his tanks were short of oxygen or had asked for help, but he didn't, and he died. He freely volunteered to engage the operation. He freely entered the dangerous, opaque waters of the cave, and he freely made an error that cost him his life. Sometimes we make grievous mistakes. Sometimes terrible things happen. God loves each of us, and God loves each of us enough to give us free will. And sometimes terrible things happen. Salmon Coonan deserves to be honored for his heroic sacrifice. And his story reminds us that actions we take in this life matter. They matter deeply, not only for us, but also for the people around us, some family, some friends, some complete strangers. We are so right to celebrate the well-being of 12 boys and their coach. But we're also right to remember Salmon Coonan and the price he paid for stepping up in a tough and dangerous time. Mark's gospel this morning offers a similarly chilling message when we read about the death of John the Baptist. King Herod did not have to kill him, but King Herod did not want to lose face in front of his important guests. He was embarrassed to welch on a promise he'd made to his new stepdaughter. and he was getting more and more uncomfortable with John's truth-telling. John had told Herod that God did not like Herod stealing his brother's wife and taking her for his own wife, and Herod had done it anyway. John the Baptist stepped up and told the truth in a tough and dangerous time, and John was killed for his public truth-telling. In our gospel, King Herod decides to play the coward and the braggart all at once, and he beheads John at his stepdaughter's urging. He resolves an embarrassing situation for himself by destroying another human being. We might wish that God had intervened and saved John, but that is not what happened that time. Free will was as sharp and dangerous a gift 2,000 years ago as it is today. John's free will and Herod's free will combined very badly. Because, of course, evil can and does happen, and terrible mistakes are made. And sometimes heroes pay a price for their goodness and their courage. The rescue of the 12 Thai boys, Sam and Kunin's example, John's example, Herod's example, remind us that even when it's tempting to convince ourselves otherwise, the actions we take matter. Choosing the good, even the small good, will build up the kingdom of God. Kunin's death doesn't dim his courage and his bravery in doing the right thing. John's death doesn't diminish his courage and his bravery in doing the right thing. Hundreds of other volunteers who went to the cave to help those boys, and the courage of the boys and the coach themselves, were carving good into the world. And their hope and the courage they showed will be remembered. Their goodness has an impact. And choosing evil, even small acts of cruelty, will cause suffering, not only to the ones we intend to hurt, but also to our own selves, to humanity itself. Herod's actions and all the genocides that ever were, all the cruelty that ever was, point to that truth. So thank God the boys are safe. Thank God heroes step forward. Thank God we have the opportunity to do the right thing in our day. Amen.